Lighthouse Church presents the following message by Pastor Jason Holloman.
God's Word says this in Mark 14. For those of you that have been following along, we've been working through the names of God. And so if you remember, we've got the names of God. Can anybody give me the names that we've walked through? I remember them personally. Do you know what they are? Anybody? Say it again. Yes. Do you remember? Pele Yoetz. What is it? Wonderful Counselor. That's right. Anybody remember the one before that? Jehovah Nissi, which is? The Lord is my banner. That's right. And then we can't remember Kenny's because Kenny went through a lot of them. Kenny went through quite a few of them. And so today, our name of God is Abba, Father. In fact, the word Abba is important. It's vocative and tense. This word is Aramaic. And so it would have likely been Jesus, his original language. So it's likely that Jesus spoke Aramaic, and that's just what he did. In fact, it's interesting, the two times that we have recorded of him speaking his mother tongue, his lingua franca, or his specific language that he grew up with, was when he is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and when he is upon the cross. And if you just want to step back and look at what a person will do in their native language and speaking, or in the native language of recording, it's pretty powerful. And so the reason why vocative matters, okay, the reason why this tense matters is I cannot say this. I cannot say, hey, that's my dad. Okay, I can't, that's not the tense of vocative. I can't say, who's your dad? Or that, or who is your dad? The vocative tense is this, dad. The vocative tense is that you are staring at a person in their face and you are saying, dad, or father, or Abba. Like, that is the vocative tense. It's a powerful tense that indicates deep understanding, and it indicates, if you will, face-to-face communication. And so you can't just say, like Jesus being in the garden, where he's just saying, hey, that's my dad. No, it's a powerful tense. I was walking through the building just a few days ago, and for those of you that know, that Little Lighthouse Preschool is, our Little Learners Preschool now, is in our building, and we're sharing this space. And so I'm walking past trying to use the bathroom, which, by the way, is becoming more and more challenging, because every time I walk in, there's kids everywhere, and so you start to hold it more, frankly. And so I was walking past the classroom where there's a bunch of kids, and as I walk past, every time I walk past, I hear, dad! And I'll walk, and I'll pass the door, and I'll look back, and I'll say, I'm not your dad. And I'll keep going, right? I don't have any kids there. But every time I walk past the door, some kid thinks I'm their dad. Well, I wasn't expecting that, actually. I was expecting something other than emotive care, so that's good. Thank you, Randy. That's not the vocative tense. I'm not their dad. Like, that's not the tense, right? It's like, who's that dad? Right? That would work. Or is that your dad? Or, right? It is not the tense when you look at somebody and say, that is dad, dad. And so when Jesus finds himself in the garden, in fact, I wish so badly, and so often I think like this, but I wish I could just gather us all up and just like whisk us to the Garden of Gethsemane. It's such a small place. It's so odd at how small it is and kind of the way that it angles and some of the trees that are there. It's just a beautiful place. I'm not beautiful like a garden that we would think of. It's just beautiful in a garden that's like, think ancient ruins beauty. And to think that you're there and Jesus is there and he's in great angst. His insides are just twisted trying to see what is about to happen. And if we know, you have to understand that the two natures here, right? And so if I wanted to talk to you about the fact that Jesus in his nature is God, then I would start in verse 26 of Mark chapter 14. Because he predicts the future. He starts telling people what they're going to do. You're going to do this. You're going to do this. I'm going to raise up. Like he's telling everybody, he's letting them know he has this, if you will, his transference of his nature, of his deity to himself. Now you might say, well, that seems a little bit odd. It's not odd at all. God's been transferring understanding of his deity nature to lots of different folks. He's been giving people words of knowledge in the Old Testament. You see all kinds of things like that. So Jesus here is walking in his nature, that's deity. And if I want to begin to bring out the nature that is his humanity, then I would start in verse 32. Because the sweat that's falling on his brow is not a part of his deity, that's a part of his humanity. And all throughout history, we see this theos, right, God-man, and you see this anthropos, man. And so that's what theologians call the theanthropic, theos anthropos, the theanthropic, or the hypostasis, the God-man. And we see this here perfectly. Now remember, it isn't that he has a little bit of God and a little bit of man. He is fully God. He is fully man. It isn't that they blend in the middle. That would be a heresy. It isn't that they are separated. That too would be a heresy. It's that God is both fully God. He is fully man. And they are inseparable. They connect together. And this is the Savior that we see in Mark 14. The Bible says this in verse 32. And they went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here a while I pray. And he took with him Peter, James, and John. When you hear Bible teachers talk about the three, this is the three. And he began to be greatly distressed and troubled. Remember, this is the man. This is the God-man who just in verse 28 says, but after I am raised up, I will go with you, before you, to Galilee. Just a few verses before, reveals himself as deity, reveals himself as one who knows the future, who is prescient, and then here reveals himself to be fully man. He began to be greatly distressed and troubled. Verse 34, and he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch. And going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Verse 36, and this is where we get the name of God we're looking at today. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I will, but what you will. And he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again, he went away and he prayed, again, saying the same words. And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came to the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Seems a little more aggressive there, doesn't it? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, and let us be going and see. My betrayer is at hand. So many of us, when we think about this idea of Abba, Father, so many of us talk about this idea where we say, well, where's God? Or what's God doing? Or how does this look? Or you might even, in some of your points, be thinking, man, I'm not so sure about this idea of God being a father because the father that I have isn't much, right? Or perhaps you have grown up with fatherlessness, and so you don't even have a framework to what a good father would be. And so often when we consider this idea of father, our earthen fathers, our earthly fathers begin to, if you will, kind of get into the middle of our theology here. We start to hear God the Father. We start to read Abba Father. And then all of a sudden, what's in our minds is our earthly father. Now, for some of us, you might say, man, that's an awesome picture. For some of you, you might say, that is not a great picture. For some of you, you might even say further still, I don't have any picture. I don't have a picture here as it relates to God the Father. And Dudley Hall, who is an author and discipler of many folks here and has been a real church father to this church for years, he wrote a book called Orphans No More. And he writes an idea from Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 14. I'll tell you his quote here after we read this passage. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For if you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. And if heirs, then a fellow heir with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Dudley writes this quote. He says this, that God did not come to give Christ, and the Spirit did not come to bring you sonship, for you to have a better version of what you think a father should be with God the Father. He came to give you the relationship that Jesus today has with the Father. He didn't give you a more perfected version. He doesn't want for you to see the person of your dad and say, what would it look like to have a better relationship with this guy? Or what would it look like to have nothing and then a really good dad? No. No, the Spirit testifies that we are with Christ and we are under the Father as a son or as a daughter. But notice something here, and this is a powerful point here. If this term is in the vocative sense, you cannot do this when you walk away from God. You can't say, yeah, man, he's my dad. Yeah, he's my dad. He's right there. He's my dad. The Spirit won't testify in that kind of moment because this is in the vocative sense. There's an idea here that you must face and turn towards the Father, and at that moment, the Spirit testifies you are a son or you are a daughter. There isn't this moment where you're running from God or you're not considering the things of God or that you're not beholding by an illuminated word what God says of himself. That's not the way that it works. No, the Bible says that for so many of us, we get shameful or we get guilty or we start to turn our backs on God. We start to say, yeah, that's God the Father. Okay, he's angry or he's whatever. But the Bible says that when we cry out, Abba Father, which means we turn and we look at him. We look at him in his word, or we look at him in the midst of worshiping him, or we're waiting upon the Spirit to testify to him. The Bible says this, that he will register that you are a son or that you are a daughter. How many times do we find our hearts hardened? We find our minds really just, if you will, just captivated by the trinkets of the world. So many shiny people everywhere. Ooh, they're shiny, right? And we just start walking to shiny people. Or, ooh, that looks good. And we just start going to things that look good. Or we see a pig with lipstick. And we say, oh, that pig's got lipstick on it. Let's go see that pig, right? So we just see all these things of the age. The Bible says, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. And so if you say, I don't know. I don't know if I'm a son. I don't know if I'm a daughter. I don't know that I'm that co-heir that you speak of. Then what I would say is, in the midst of reading his word, in the midst of worshiping, in the midst of praying, in the midst of spending time with the saints, face him. Turn towards him. and the Spirit will testify. It's a powerful moment. And so when we look at the names of God, when we consider the names of God, and we consider that in the darkest moment, some would say the darkest moment, just before the moment of death in the life of Christ, the night before he was to be betrayed, here he cries out and looks up to his Father and says, "If there's any other way, Abba, Father." In this season of Advent, in my email responses, I've been responding in emails, just, I pray that this season is meaningful. There's so much about this season that is really fun. There's so much about this season that's glittery. There's so much about this season that has joy. Ho, 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 right? There's all these different things, right? There's so many counterfeits to the season. The season is just, it's like a factory of counterfeits. It's like, oh, it's Advent season. And they just, and the culture just spits out counterfeits to Advent. And if last year's doesn't work anymore, then we'll spit out more counterfeits. And this season, one of the reasons why we come back to the names of God is because in this Adventist season, Advent season, God is in the midst of sending into the world his Son. And we just read the Son about to go to death for his people. And so let's, for just a moment, so in a moment where for any of us to have 30 seconds feels like an eternity. In fact, in my last church, I did an exercise and I just said, hey, let's spend 30 seconds and just behold the Father. And then I did a little test after. I was like, hey, how many of you started writing down lists of things to do? Huh? Huh? You know why so many of you hear from the Lord in the shower? There's an answer to that. Because it's the only time you're not doing something else. It's the only time that you have actually thoughts. The only time that you have a lack of stimuli. It's the only time that as you're sitting there, you think, oh man, I really need to do this. And yeah, I think I love the Lord. And so for this season, Abba, Father, what I want to do is I want us to, if you will, face the Father. And for some of us, that's just writing him a letter. For some of us, that's just praying. For some of us, that's envisioning the person of Christ. For some of us, that's just in prayer, just focusing on him for just a few seconds. And in this season, those seconds are precious. And so before I pray, let's rest and consider Abba, Father. Father, 10 seconds is us being still and waiting upon you. It feels like such a long time. And so we pray that, Father, we would face you as Abba Father, that we would cry out to you that you are our Father. And we ask that the Spirit would bear witness to our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, we pray, Father, then heirs. And if heirs, then fellow heirs with your Son, Christ. Father, we thank you. You are so good. You are a wonderful counselor. You are our banner. And you are our Father. We pray and we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ.
Enjoyed today's message. For more information, visit our website at lighthousentx.com.